Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more and find the store nearest to you.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
You're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Hello from Hong Kong.
We are broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on a dish or an aspect of Asian cuisine, and we interview experts on the topic.
Linda and I like to kick off the show with a question for each other, and that is, what is the best thing you ate in the past week?
Yeah, so I have a fairly like unconventional answer from what I typically say. So I've been trying to like eat healthy and cook a good bit at home these days. And so I made this like Asian-inspired salad dressing, which is very umami, and it goes well with any vegetables or meats or fish, actually. And it includes olive oil, minced garlic, ginger, brown sugar, soy sauce, and chopped jalapenos, and just like whisked together. Completely simple, and I feel like fairly healthy.
Nice. Wait, so you put it on salads or?
Yeah, I just like toss it with like lettuces, and it can also go as like a dressing on top of like some, you know, steak or salmon that's grilled.
Nice.
Yeah, what about cool. You, Iris? What have you been eating?
Well, actually, I ate a lot of good food this past week, so I'm very feeling
all right,
very
let's
grateful
go
for that.
At it.
But I think my actual favorite meal was a home-cooked lasagna at my friend's place. It's been a really long time since I had a home-cooked meal. It's really not popular amongst young people in Hong Kong. Everybody eats out because I think either you live with your parents or you have a tiny, tiny apartment and you don't want people over, and plus people just are lazy and don't like to cook.
Okay, this makes me sad.
I really enjoyed that.
Oh, I'm glad you got that.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about a very iconic Indian dish today, and that is butter chicken. So Sam Sifton of the New York Times called it the General Tso's of Indian food, a great ever-evolving cross-continental dish. While it's a good analogy, I would argue that General Tso's is still very much an American dish, whereas butter chicken, which is also called Merg Makhani or sometimes Chicken Makhani on menus, is indeed cross-continental, and you'll find it on Indian restaurant menus all over the world. It's basically chicken that is marinated for several hours in a yogurt and spice mixture, often including garam masala, ginger, garlic, lemon or lime, pepper, cumin, and chili. It's then usually cooked in a tandoor, which is a traditional Indian clay oven, so it can be grilled, roasted, or pan-fried as an alternative. It's then served in a rich, buttery, tomato-based sauce with additional spices and garnishes. So I've read maybe 5 different accounts of the history of the dish, and all of them basically tell the same story, though none of them match exactly in terms of the timeline or who specifically invented it and whatnot. So the dish has roots in Punjabi cuisine. There were 2 men, Kundan Lal Jaggi and Kundan Lal Gujral, who were working at an eatery in Punjab from the 1920s to the 1940s. They were supposedly the first to dig up a tandoor right in the middle of the eatery, and hence, like, they were credited as inventors of tandoori chicken. But because of the partition of British India in 1947, they fled and moved to Delhi and set up a restaurant there called Moti Mahal. This is where butter chicken was created, and the dish came about because they were trying to find a way to sell unsold tandoori chicken, which would be too dry if you were to just heat it up. So they came up with this delicious buttery tomato gravy as a way to revive the leftover tandoori chicken. The dish was a hit and became popularized in the 1950s, reaching other parts of India as well as overseas. The restaurant also became very famous thanks to its culinary innovations and contributions to helping putting Indian cuisine on the map.
Yep. So thanks for that, Iris.
You've done your research, Iris.
Navjot is impressed here. So to help us learn more, even more, about butter chicken, we have Navjot Arora and Sushil Malhotra in the studio with us today. Sushil is actually calling in as well. So Navjot is the executive chef and co-owner of Old Monk, a contemporary Indian soul food restaurant in the East Village. And Sushil is the CEO and co-founder of Cafe Spice Restaurant Group, and Old Monk is part of that acclaimed family of restaurants. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us on the show. So both of you have interesting stories of how you ended up in New York and in the culinary world. Can you both tell us a bit about yourselves and the path that brought you where you are today?
I'm going to start. Mine is not as colorful and as storied as Sushil's. I have been a chef for a long time. I went to hotel school in India, and I worked for the Taj in many different aspects, cuisines, areas. And then I migrated to the United States in 2000. I joined Sushil's Cafe Spice Restaurant Group, and we helped grow Cafe Spice to where it is. It's an iconic brand doing a lot of business in the entire country. And I wanted to branch out on my own, and in 2008, realize my dream with Sushil's help by opening Chutney Masala. And that went on to become a favorite of the neighborhood in Westchester. We opened another restaurant in Westchester called Sambal, which is serving Thai and Malaysian, because we wanted to stay close to our roots. And I love Southeast Asian cuisine. And then finally, I always wanted to open a place in Manhattan. And the dream was realized in the form of Old Monk. So I'm a chef. I've been in this line cooking for past 30 years almost. But Sushil definitely has a much more colorful story to tell. Sushil?
All right. I don't know how colorful. I am an electrical engineer by background. I came here to study at the age of 17. And I finished my engineering. I worked as an engineer for American Electric Power. And then went on to do my master's at Stern. While I was doing all this, my father had come here too. And we had a spice business, which we operated from our garage in Jackson Heights. So I used to help my father on the weekends to go deliver spices and condiments like papadums and mango chutney to the various restaurants in Manhattan. This is in 1970-71. And whenever I went to all the restaurants, I was not very happy with what I saw when I used to go to India. So I picked up courage, and with the help of my family, support of friends, I opened my first Indian restaurant in 1976 on Park Avenue. That was quite a step ahead of the Indian restaurants which were there. And it was called the Akbar, A-K-B-A-R, named after the famous ruler whose son built the Taj Mahal. And Akbar also in Urdu and Farsi means the greatest. That's why they say Allahu Akbar. So I operated that. Initially, I was very regretting that I should go back to my engineering, because I think I'd, overbuilt it, and I don't think the market was quite ready in 1976, to pay that higher prices for Indian food, But finally, in about 3 years before I was ready to give up, I got a fantastic article in New York Times by Craig Claiborne at that time. And that was the beginning of the success. You know, there were lines of the restaurant. They had talked about the tandoori oven and how you can see the chef making it and things like that. So after that was saturated in 1985, I thought of opening a restaurant, which is still there today, but I don't own it anymore. It's called Dawat. It's on 58 and 2nd. And I wanted to do something different, which in today's world may be called fusion Indian, but I still stayed with the tandoori oven and the chicken makhani and everything. But I wanted to... India was ruled by different dynasties. The British being the latest, but they were Mughals. And then India, because of the spices, the Portuguese came into Goa, and the French came into Pondicherry, and the Jewish people came into Cochin, and the Zoroastrian, the Persian people also came in. So there was that lot of dishes which they bought, and they mixed it with the Indian spices. And, you know, it was not North Indian cuisine. It wasn't South Indian cuisine. But it was a combination. So I wanted to express that in Dawat. But then a friend of mine told me, but you're an engineer. You're not a chef. You know, you haven't written any books. So I started thinking, and I figured I got to find somebody who's an authority on Indian food. And in those days, it was Madhur Jaffrey. You know, she had written a lot of cookbooks, and she was on BBC every week in London. So I approached her and finally convinced her to put these dishes, which were different from any other menu, Indian menu in the United States, I would say, and in England, and we presented it at Dawat. We had a roaring success. We were 15 years number one in the Zagat, you know. And then I wanted to, because of my engineering background and the scaling, I thought the supermarkets would be ready for Indian food. So I started a chain of kiosks and restaurants called Cafe Spice. There's still one at the Grand Central Station here down. Been there for about 17 years. And we started manufacturing. My son runs the factories, Samir, the plant, the food plant. And Navjot used to be the head vice president of operations and looking after the kitchen and so forth. Today we employ over 200 people in upstate New York. We have 45,000 square feet of kitchen. One of our biggest customers is Whole Foods stores. Whole Foods in Brooklyn, all over. We probably supply to about 250 Whole Foods stores, Indian as well as Thai. And we also supply to food service, to office cafeterias like J.P. Morgan and, you know, Citibank, Goldman Sachs, so forth. We also supply to cruise lines. We also supply to airlines. We also supply to casinos in their buffet. It's become a fairly large business, and I sort of...
Cool. So let's, just for the sake of diving deep into butter chicken, let's skip ahead also to Old Monk. You know, Sushil, this is amazing background. You've done so much. That's really cool. What made you guys decide to pursue what you call contemporary Indian soul food, that is Old Monk? And what does that name mean?
I will take that. And I was mentioning to Linda and Iris before the show started, I said, your podcast and show showcases Asian cuisine in the West, and you've really done a lot to further Indian cuisine in the US. And now this is the latest step in that journey of taking hardcore Indian authentic dishes and making them relevant, fresh, and contemporary. That's what Old Monk is all about. Mm. How we tweak them and how we make them more approachable is what we call it, why we call it contemporary. Mm-hmm. And soul food is, it's because it's all from the heart. It's all the favorites from different regions of India.
Mm.
All the classics from all across India, all the classics inspired by a billion foodies. We've put them together in a one-page menu, but given it a fresh twist and a New York state of mind.
Oh, I like that explanation. That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
So let's put that in application to butter chicken. How do you guys do it? And do you agree with, you know, Iris's description and history of how that came about?
100%. She's done her research. And the only twist we have done in India, if you were to go to Moti Mahal today,
okay,
and order butter chicken, it would come on the bone. So it would be tandoori chicken, which is on the bone, probably leftover, like she said. It was a good way to use leftover tandoori chicken, which has been roasted and cannot be reheated or reshuffled. So
it'll get dry.
It'll get dry. The only tweak we've done to that is we are using boneless chicken. But unlike many Indian restaurants that use white meat, we still use Thai meat, but boneless. That's the only tweak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting point, especially like, you know, in the West, how people perceive meat and on being on the bone. So in India, is it eaten in all of the regions, or is it really eaten and popular where it was created?
So North India is where it was created, like heart of North India, Delhi. It is very popular in the north, and reason being because of the abundance of dairy and more people who eat meat, it is still more popular in the north. Down south, there is a lot more percentage of vegetarians, so you will not find butter chicken being as popular, only because of the two reasons. One, the number of people that are vegetarian, and the second, the abundance of dairy. Now, I mean, even in today's day and age of you can have everything shipped around from one place to the other, but it still is, it's popular all over the country, but still mostly popular in the north.
Yeah, and it's unlike some other I am doing air quotes, like Indian dishes like chicken tikka masala. This one is truly Indian, right?
Completely Indian. Chicken tikka masala is a British interpretation or British take on version on butter chicken.
Yeah. So we did notice that it is actually, you know, popular internationally. Why do you think this dish is so popular across the world? Why do you think like practically everyone enjoys it?
I think it hits all the perfect notes. We all crave, you know, a little sweetness, a little tartness, a little savoriness, and a little fat. It has all the elements.
Yeah, and it goes back to what you said about being a soul food.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't deny that. And so where have you had, and Sushil, where have you guys had the best butter chicken?
Sushil, I'll let you take that first.
Best butter chicken. I think our commissary makes the best chicken.
That's biased.
That's,
you know, I tell you, between all the Indian, we have maybe about 15 or 17 Indian stews, starting from chana masala, saag paneer, chicken curry, chicken chettinad. You know, can you believe if I add all of those and I add chicken tikka masala or chicken makhni, butter chicken outsells every one of them by at least 7-1.
Wow.
Yeah, that is, you know, true.
It is that popular.
It is that.
Yeah, very, very popular. And we make it's probably also Navjot's recipe, because he started from the commissary, and that's been going on. But it's by far, it outsells everything, you know, we make.
I remember the best butter chicken I have had is in Delhi in Karol Bagh. It was a street vendor.
Oh, like
and
that.
And the best thing about that, he did not make it in a pot. He made it on a griddle. And people used to come from far and wide. And he would, you know, reduce the chicken in the sauce, simmer it on a griddle. So you're actually not even a saute pan, a big 18-inch or even a 2-foot griddle.
And the sauce just stays in the middle?
Yeah, it's just got a little...
Unexpected.
Exactly. That was the best part of it. Seeing it being made on this big griddle, which is almost a half-inch thick cast iron griddle. And he uses a spatula to do that. And that was the best butter chicken.
Oh, that's a cool story. So yep. We're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with more of East Meets West.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market believes in seeking out local, fresh, and seasonal food, and in supporting local farmers, makers, and the community as a whole, economically and agriculturally. Whole Foods Market believes in food that is vivid and colorful, fresh and full of nutrients, food that connects you to your body, the seasons, and to nature, food that helps you do more, sleep better, and wake up happier. Found in over 400 locations throughout the United States, Whole Foods Market only sells food that meets their standards, which means no artificial colors, flavors, preservatives, or sweeteners, ever. Whole Foods Market believes in real food. Visit wholefoodsmarket.com or download the Whole Foods Market app to learn more.
Welcome back. You are listening to Feast Meets West. I wanted to get your opinion on, of course, like Indian food, how it's doing in the U.S. It's quite popular. Where do you guys, you know, want to see it going from here?
I can take that.
Okay.
So I've seen the evolution of Indian food from what I would say 1970. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm also on the advisory board of the Culinary Institute of America, CIA. Good CIA, giving them advice on how Indian food can be moved into mainstream America, because CIA has classes and they also have international cuisines. You know, so I have seen it coming from fine dining to bistro level to then the next step was the expresses, which we created. We have an express, a Cafe Spice Express in MIT. We have one in Tulane. We have one in Georgia Tech. So I see, and now we've been approached by a financial group, and I was talking to Navjot on the weekend, that they feel it is the next phase after Chipotle. You know? And they are willing to put in the money where their mouth is. And this is a fairly, I've signed an NDA, so I can't name them. But it's probably, you know, on the level of Goldman Sachs and Blackstone and so forth, who have a food division and they want to, they've approached us to open something. And that Old Monk may be a model. And then they want to open in university towns. They want to have, you know, in Old Monk, usually there's an Indian restaurant in every university town. It's not necessarily Boston and Philadelphia. But even if you go to Cornell, you will find an Indian restaurant, you know. But these are not, they're, you know, how do I say it without, basically, it's not a standardized operation, you know. So some are good, some are not so good. So they want us to take it and use our commissary so that we have not only the economics, but we also have the standardization of the sauces and things like that. And then they want us to trigger and open more and more. You know? So I am working on that project, and Old Monk is going to be the first model.
If I may add to that, I think there is still a fair amount of the population or who still feel Indian food equates to spicy and curry.
Mm-hmm.
But that
a very basic interpretation of it.
A very basic and almost an illiterate interpretation of Indian food, that it's all curry and it's all spicy. And that's been one of our pet projects or missions, to kind of break down that barrier, that it's not all spicy and it's not all curry. Curry is nothing but a sauce for an Indian. But most people here, they see something yellow with turmeric, they associate it with curry. And I think there is a huge change, and people are realizing that there's a lot more to Indian food than just, curry, chicken.
Yeah, that's definitely whole, something you guys are doing, adding that huge variety onto your menu, but still like being favorites. So everything is delicious. And I was fortunate enough to try it and it was awesome. But do you see specific trends that are popping up that are taking place here in, you know, New York City, in the US, or even India, on the cuisine?
I definitely think making it lighter and making it with better ingredients, keeping it simple is the trend. Instead of, you know, in the olden days, they used to put heavy cream in everything. Try and keep it simple and try and do home style, simple food with good ingredients. You can never go wrong with Indian food.
Yeah. Do you think the heavy cream was like a thing that happened after Indian food immigrated to the U.S. and, you know, or was it like a worldwide phenomenon that like making it lighter and like thinking about this, like,
I think even in today's day and age, if you went to an Indian store and looked for heavy cream, you will not find it.
Mm-hmm.
You will not find heavy cream. You'd have to look hard and fast to find heavy cream in India, even in the best of stores. It is not used at all. It was more an interpretation in the West because to dumb down the spices, to tone down the flavors, and just kind of add a little bit of mellowness at the end or sweetness at the end, they started adding heavy cream to everything. But then that took away from the integrity of the dish. And I think that is being reversed now.
Oh, that's cool. I like to hear that. Things are going back to how they were like meant to be tasted.
Exactly.
So with a new restaurant, opening Old Monk so far, what are some of your favorite moments you guys have had? So for example, you know, like a challenge you had while creating the restaurant or something that was interesting that happened in the back of house or even front of house.
So one of our biggest challenges we are still facing, that is getting a liquor permit.
So New York.
So New York. Other than that, it was pretty seamless, all in all. We just got inspected by the Department of Health today when got an A grade. We were preparing for it, so Yay. That was good. I think in terms of construction and the usual missteps that you did this to the floor here and different colors. We didn't really have any. We were lucky with this one.
Yeah, that's great.
We didn't really have any challenges in terms of getting to this point. Training the staff and getting them to standard was obviously a process, but didn't really have a misstep.
Yeah, and how has
my,
the...
My little piece is that I had more fun deciding the name Old Monk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, how did you do that?
We were going up and down, back and forth, because historically Old Monk is a name of a rum which is from India, which we all in our college days drank hidingly. We were underage or whatever.
So it has very nostalgic moments.
Well, it reminds you a lot about Old Monk rum and Old Monk soul food. But I had more fun deciding a name between Navjot, me, Navjot's wife, my son. We were all going around and around. And finally, we decided on Old Monk. It was Navjot's name.
It is an iconic brand that everybody who's grown up in India and lived in India can relate to. And even till date, when people get to know the name or we tell them, and they're kind of brings a smile to their face because they relate to Old Monk right away. And that's why we have Old Monk lamb rum chops on the menu. Lamb chops or leg of lamb is generally traditionally marinated in dark rum. So we made that play there.
Oh, that's awesome. And I can't wait to go back to the restaurant. I'm sure you guys will get your liquor license real soon and try the Old Monk rum properly. That's right. Going to be great.
We can use it for cooking even now.
Yeah. And the lamb too, of course.
Now you get the Old Monk mixed with lamb chops mixed with Old Monk, right? Yeah. Abjot?
Yes.
Yep. So we can start there. And then we'll come back for the full-on cocktails. So how has the reception been in the neighborhood?
I think people are waking up to, a new dimension to Indian food, which is got clean flavors, still retains the integrity and the authenticity of the dish. There's no messing with that. And it's served just the way we eat at home, with a side of lentils, some pickled onions, some basmati rice, and that's exactly how we eat at home. And we also have a very nice way to sample a lot of things, either through the tasting menu, or we also have a combination platter, which is called a thali, that has a sampling of 5 or 6 different items, and you can get a sense of everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. That sounds great. So that is all for our show today. Thank you so much for joining us, Navjot and Sushil.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Iris.
For listeners who want to learn more about Old Monk, how should they stay connected online?
You can find, on our website, on our Facebook, Instagram. You can call us. We are also looking to have cooking classes soon, like I do in Chutney Masala. Since we don't open for lunch, we'll be starting a cooking class come November.
So would that be in the restaurant space?
In the restaurant every month, yeah.
Oh, that's such a good idea, and that's really different. Well, thank you guys again, and thank you listeners for tuning in. If you've been enjoying Feast Meets West, Iris and I would really appreciate it if you could head over to iTunes Store and leave us a rating and review for Feast Meets West by Heritage Radio Network. And this way, more people can discover the show. We'll be back next week with another awesome conversation from the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.